Miramontes. I'm going to name these and give honor to these who have passed on. Bob Cobbick-Dolan, Gary Slover, Barb Slover, Thelma Hines, Lindell Ballinger, Jesse and Annie Graham, Percy Okama, Marlene Burdick, children that have passed on, Leah Jacobson, Travis Flum, Max Ramsey. God, we just remember these men and women who have labored and who have gone on into glory. God, as we remember those, we thank you. We thank you for them. God bless them. Hallelujah. God bless them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, what a wonderful spirit in the house this morning. I thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for your spirit in the house. And just acknowledge you, Lord, as our God and mighty Savior. We just thank you so much for it. And continue to speak in your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. So we've been talking about Nehemiah. You guys been reading Nehemiah? Change your world in 52 days. Hallelujah. Not just change your life, not just change your mind, but change, hallelujah, your world and our entire surroundings. Amen? That's what it says, change your world in 52 days. So Nehemiah, who is Nehemiah? God transformed an ordinary cupbearer into an extraordinary man to change the world. He was a cupbearer, as we were sharing last week. And this week we want to talk about just discovering the leader inside of us. Hallelujah. We've talked about some of this in our home groups. We've been talking about what moves our heart and what God has burdened on our heart. And we want to talk about practically putting that into action, right? If we look and we look at Nehemiah, we might as well open up our Bible to there because we're just going to be reading sections of Nehemiah into there as we share this morning. But if you just go to Nehemiah chapter 1, when God was speaking to Nehemiah, he gave him a burden, right? And we're just going to do a quick review. But came from all Judea in verse 2 and 3 in Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was asking concerning the Jews who had escaped and who had survived the captivity of Jerusalem. And they said, the survivors who are left from the captivity, the province, are the great in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down. So when he heard these words in verse 4, he said that I sat down and wept, and I mourned for many days. Hallelujah. What makes us weep? What's on our heart? And then what did he do? I was fasting and praying before the Lord God of heaven. Amen. God is always wanting to gather his people. And Nehemiah had grabbed a heart, a God's heart, for his people. Right? And God's heart is always wanting us to bring us together. He does. He wants to bring us together. He wants to bring his people together and to have a safe place where his name, what, could be established, where his people could find safety. Right? God's constant purpose is to build his house on earth as it is in heaven. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on where? Earth as it is in heaven. And where, when his house is a mess, it should break our hearts like Nehemiah. And God has called each of us, right, to have a place in his house. Every single one of us have a part in God's house. He's called us all to be a part. He's building this house, and every single one of us are called to be a part. So when Nehemiah saw the situation, he goes, wow, his house isn't in good shape, so his heart broke for something because it said, oh, something ain't right, right? And something's got to change. Someone has to do something. And it was on his heart. Someone has to do something. And then he says, it might as well be me. Amen? Now Nehemiah was just an ordinary man. He wasn't like strong as a leader. He was a cupbearer, but he cared. The key of him is he cared, right? And it was put on his heart, and he cared, and he had a broken heart for something. And he said, "I want to do something about that." And he sat down, he fasted and prayed to the God of heaven, right? So he sought the Lord. Amen. So when we get some burden on our heart, guess what? Guess who God's going to use? He's going to use those that kneel down and pray. There's people who cry. God breaks our heart for something. We cry, we pray, and then we act. Right? We've cried. I know some guys, we go like, man, have you ever cried? I admit it, I cried. And not just when I hurt myself really bad, right? I hit my hand or smash my hand, I cry. No. I cry when my heart is broken for something, right? Your kids, your family, God's house, your heart can break, all right? So we just need to be willing. We're not the best, but do we care enough to do something? Amen? Is it on our heart enough to do something? It's not about what everything else in the natural, if it's just God needs somebody who is willing and wants to be used. So say, God, go ahead. You can use me. I want to make a difference. So number one, as a leader, we're going to go over three things. But when God places on something on our heart, we have to be able to define the mission. And Nehemiah was able to define the mission that God had placed on his heart. I want to go to Nehemiah 2, verse 4, and just talk about how he defined his mission. And he was talking to the king, and the king said to me, what do you request, right? So, what did he do? I prayed. Say, I prayed. He sought the Lord. The king made the request, and he sought the Lord, right? He said, I prayed. I prayed to the God of heaven and said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah and the city of my fathers that I may rebuild it. So what was his mission? What did he say? I'm going to go and rebuild the walls, right? It was very clear. It was very defined. He knew exactly what he needed to do, and he defined it, and he was able to articulate it and explain it, right? What has God put on our hearts? What has he called us to do? What do you feel burning in your heart, okay? We talked about that in home groups that we talked about. But the next thing, can we define that? Can we define what God's put on our hearts to do? What is it? Evangelism, right? What is it that God's put on our heart? Where do you start? With one. Help the poor and needy. What are we going to do? We're going to start with one. Start feeding the poor and needy. What has God put on your heart to do? Can we define it? Because the problem is if we can't define it, there's no possible way that we're going to be able to do it. Right? I just feel like I want to help children. Okay, great. Where? Right? I just want to help children. Well, how are you going to help children? I don't know, but I just want to help children. It sounds so nice, right? And we let the politicians do that. I just want to help people. Well, define how you're going to do that. Because if you can't define it, you're not going to do it. Amen? And God gave Nehemiah a burden to go rebuild, and he defined it, and he said, yeah, I'm going to go do that, right? But if you can't define it, you're not going to do it, right? Whatever it is that God's put on your heart to do, you got to be able to define it, right? You need to be able to articulate it. You need to be able to explain it, right? And he was explaining it to who? He was explaining it to the king. So you better be able to define it if you're coming up to the king and you're telling him what you're going to do, right? He says, I'm going to rebuild it, right? If we can't define it, we can't do it. In every area, this comes down to every single area of your life. It's just not working the kingdom. It's everything that you're doing. If you can't define it about being a father, right? Or building a house. Or being a grandmother. What is it you want to do? Well, I'm just going to love my grandkids. Well, how are you going to love your grandkids? Well, I don't know, you know? I mean, how do you show affection? How do you show love? How do you build a house? Well, what's the plan, right? So if you don't define it, you can't do it. So he told him, he said, I am going to go and what? Rebuild it. It's very clear, right? Very clear cut, something someone could get. Second part is carefully plan of action. We're going to go do this, but how, right? And I've heard this before. Failure to prepare is what? Preparation to... So if you don't have a plan, right? I'm going to go rebuild the house. Well, how are you going to go do that? What are you going to do? I'm going to probably need to get some wood. Need to get some rocks, right? Nehemiah had a specific plan. If you look at verses 7 and 6, watch what he had already began to lay out. He asked, now, this is amazing, the favor that this man had. Listen, God gives us favor. Come on. This guy is a cupbearer, okay? He's a cupbearer going to the king and asking if he can go to another place 1,000 miles away and rebuild Jerusalem's walls. Right? So he's asking the king, verse 7, furthermore, I say to the king, if it pleases the king, let the letters be given me for the governor of the region beyond the river. So what is he asking for? Authority and permission to have safe travel. Because he's thought this out. He's planned this out. This is what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to go over there, right? And I need safe journey. So he's thinking about what he's going to do. So he goes to the king and he asks permission in a piece of paper to give him the authority to go up, across the country and be protected. Permit me to pass through. And give me a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. So he knew this guy's name who was in authority of the king's forest, because guess what he's going to need? Wood. He's going to need supplies. So would you give me a letter? So it shows that Nehemiah was not only had a burden, right, and was able to define it, but he was also making plans. He was also seeking the Lord and really making plans to act. And when you have a plan, then you can come and see, God's not going to give us favor if we don't have a plan, right? Come on, you don't have a plan of action. You go, oh, give me the favor of God to help the children. Well, where? Where are you going? Come on now, right? What is that on your heart when you're defining it? And we're going to go someplace and ask for the favor of the Lord, but we're not out there. We got to go out there and activate our plan. He went to the king, right? And God gave him favor. He was just a cupbearer. Come on. But God gave him favor with the king, and he gave him the permission to do what he needed to do. Okay? God put something on our hearts. We're going out there to do it, right? And we activate a plan, and we start going to the governors of the city. We start going to places, and we start letting the favor of God work and manifest, right? Right now, we need the favor of God. We're trying to get natural gas to this place, right? But we need favor, man. But if we don't have a plan, and we don't start going out there and making contacts with these people, God cannot work through us favor. Right? He can't. So we just can't sit here and expect favor if we're not exercising and defining what God wants us to do, right? Defining the call and having a plan to activate it. It's just not going to happen, right? So we need to carefully think the plan through. And Nehemiah did, right? Sometimes we have a big vision. Who has a really big vision? I'm going to save everybody in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, right? I want everybody to come to Christ in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, right? That's pretty big vision, a big burden. But the key to having a big burden is to focus on the next step. God says to what? Walk by faith and not by sight. So when you're walking, let's say I need to go over there. How many steps does it take to go over there? 10? More than one, right? But I need to focus on the next step. God wants us to just focus on the next step. What's the next step? All right, I want to evangelize Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Right? So what am I going to do? You're going to start with one. You need to start with one. You have to start. You can't start with more than one. You got to start with one. And it seems like it can be an overwhelming process. But if you don't start with one, there's no way you're going to get two, and there's no way you're going to get 40, and there's no way that you're going to get 100. But you need to start with one. We went to the Life Care Center banquet meeting this year, and it talked about starfish. And all these starfish were washing up on the shore. And this little kid was trying to throw the starfish, and the water would bring them back like this. And there were so many starfish. And there was a guy standing by there, and he looked at the kid, and he said, you know what, do you think that you're making a difference? So the kid grabbed a starfish. He picked it up, and he tossed it in the ocean. It went in the ocean. He said, well, I made a difference for that one. Come on. Sometimes we get such a big vision that we can't even, you know, do one. But you forget that you can make a difference right now for one. And when you have a heart to do that, when you have a heart of that passion, one can become two, and God's favor can begin to move through your life. Amen. Dennis Fish was a good friend of mine, and I worked with him, and he was a salesman. And I remember being in work every day. You know, you work every day. I know we're out there working, and it's sometimes you just get exhausted. And he'd look at me, and he was a wise man. He said, Tom, all you can do is all you can do. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but, I mean, for you, you're just trying to, you're thinking 10 days down the road, you're thinking 5 days down the road, you're trying. But he says, you know what, all you can do is all you can do. And it just kind of released something in me. He says, you know what, I'm just going to give it what I got today, and that's it. So, you know what I mean? I'm just going to give it what I got right now. And all I can do right now is all I can do, Lord. Whatever I can do for you right now is all I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry about 10 days down the road. I'm not going to worry 6 months. This is a 6 month project. Anytime you get a project that's longer than 3-4 days, it can start to weigh on you because you realize you got the pressure on. But he was so calm. He's peaceful. He said, you know what? Today, all you can do is all you can do. If you're in a situation that's taking a long time, you need to get a hold of this mindset. Every step by step, just step by step. All I can do today is all I can do. And that's all right. But that's what it's walk by faith, amen? That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it real quick. It says, don't worry, because we can worry, right? About the natural things, what we eat, what we drink, or what we will wear. Okay? Because that just can overcome us. But 33:33, it says, but seek what? The kingdom, his kingdom, and his righteousness. So Nehemiah was seeking the Lord's kingdom, and he had a plan. And when we begin to exercise that which God has put in our heart, that's his kingdom. Amen? What God has put on your heart is his kingdom. And it's in all of us. It's in all of us. Because he made you. He made every single one of us. And he's put something on our heart to accomplish on this earth because we all have a part. And it's burning in your heart, right? And that's his kingdom that wants to come forth. So when we begin to seek that which God has put on our heart to do, right, and his righteousness, then all these things are going to come into place, not the other way around. So all we can do is all we can do, but we're seeking the Lord. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. So we're not going to worry about the next day or tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God's given you enough today to deal with, amen, that you need to focus on for that next step. And I find out the next day there will be that day. But don't worry about it. It's going to take care of itself when it comes. Today, you're not going to handle 10 days of stuff right now. You don't have the grace to do it. You don't have God's ability to handle 10 days from now. God gives you the ability to handle it, what you got right now. Amen? And when we begin to take on the weight of the next 10 years of our life, we begin to crumble because we're not given the grace for that. We're only given the grace to handle what we have right now. God's ability, his power is for us to handle what we have right now. And that's what we need to be focused on, amen? The step, next step, amen? So we have defined what God has put on our heart to do. We are able to define it, amen? And then we're able to have a plan of action. Then the third thing, we need to be able to inspire people passionately. We have to have passion. I almost said amen again. I'm working on it. Passionately. We have to have passion to inspire people. If I'm going to inspire people around me, I have to be sold on what it is that God put on my heart. Are you going to inspire people when you're not inspired? I mean, you can't do it. When God puts something on your heart, you're going to be, whoa, Lord Jesus. You know, Nehemiah traveled over 1,000 miles to Jerusalem. It's no planes, no anything like that. A change your world leader knows that you can make a difference by yourself. But if you want to change the world around you, you're going to need other people. People are going to have to buy into the vision that God has given you, right? They're going to have to see your part and say, wow, I want to get on board with that, right? Because every single one of us have a part. You know, yesterday we were working on the church out here. We had teams, we had every members from every team contributing yesterday to get that done. Woo! We did. We had David was out there. Andy was out there, part of a team. I was out there, part of Dan's team, right? We had scaffolding from others taking their resources. And then Danny was out there watching. So he was there. I knew you'd appreciate that. Yeah! Supervisor. No, we took Jake scaffolding. I mean, we had everybody contributing yesterday. We were out there working, and there were some things that came up, and I said, Dan, we need a board, and Dan ran out and got a board. Amen? Yeah, you guys did a great job, everybody. Thank you so much. But we had a vision, right? We recognized each other's abilities. We went out there. We had a plan. I don't know how passionate. I'm going to say Andy Hudson was pretty passionate about doing that stuff. He was. He pushed it. I was just going to do one side. Then he looked at the other side and said, what about this side? Yeah, I said, yeah, that's pretty bad too. I guess we need to do that. We started ripping it out, and he said, man, this board's got to go. So we ripped out boards, and that had to go. I just want to tell you, Andy, that God is going to use your hands to bring him glory. I just want to look at your hands and just look at your hands right now. God is going to use your hands to bring him glory, Andy. You are anointed to work for the kingdom of God. And the things that you touch are going to glorify his name because it's about excellence, and you're about excellence. And you love the Lord with a passion. Hallelujah. And God's put stuff on your heart to build and just to lead. You lead so well when you build. You are a leader in that area. And I just want to recognize that this morning and honor that on your life, buddy. And I appreciate that. So thank you for your service. Amen. To be passionate. Wow. Come on, let's go. Man. The passion. Do you have a passion for his name? You know, he was able to articulate what he felt inside, and he was able to he wanted to be free, amen? And he wanted to see his countrymen free. And he said, you know what? There's an enemy, and we need to face the enemy because he's trying to take away our freedom. You know? And he said, it's going to be hard. Yeah, you know, it's going to be hard for some of you. You're going to have to fight, and it's going to take a little bit. But would you look back to now and to then, and would you be able to trade? You may be able to run for now and live, but you're going to live in oppression. You're going to live in fear. You're going to live in under the King of England. And he said, would you trade all that days of how long you don't know you're going to live and to come back to this place for that opportunity? Say, you know what? I'm not going to let it be here anymore. I'm going to fight. Come on. It's greater than ourselves. Something much bigger than just me. You know, Nehemiah, they had come to a place where they were, the leaders, the governors of the place were trying to put fear on the people when they started to bring the walls. And he talked to the people, and he said, you know, you're going to do this not just for yourselves, but we need to fight this battle for our kids and our children and for generations to come. He said, take courage, for the Lord is with you. You know, God is with you. God brings his favor and his strength. Come on. And we're fighting principalities and powers that are not what we see, but they are spiritual. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. He told Peter that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome me. And I will give you the key. What we're building here is God's house. We're building a safe house. A place where people will come, where they're broken, where they can be sheltered, where they can be healed. Where the Spirit of God could come in and have freedom. Come on, because it says in the Word, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But it's going to take a people who can grab a hold of what God has put on their heart. They define it, they plan it, and then they're passionate about his name. They're passionate about the Lord. And they identify, come on, the real battle. And the real pain and the real struggle is not of this world. But the Lord God Almighty, hallelujah, has ordained his people to be his soldiers and his servants. To build his house. To build a place, hallelujah, where people will be healed and restored. Set free. Where they could come to know their Father, amen. That they come to know who God is and have hope and joy and peace everlasting, where the schemes of the enemy would be deflated and the strength and the glory of God would be shown among men. That's what God wants to build, because our God is a mighty God and he is mighty to save, amen. He is so mighty to save. And the Lord is asking a few of us, and he's asking all of us, hallelujah, would you lay down your life that I might build my house, that I might build my building? Come on. Hallelujah, that I may be glorified in it, that people would come to know me and be glorified, and my name would be glorified amongst the earth. Are there a people out there? And I would like to look at that video and say, you know what? I'd trade it all. I trade it all, God, for this moment and this time where we would look back at this day and we wouldn't say we ran from a battle. We wouldn't ran from difficult times, but we sought as Nehemiah did, and we prayed and we fasted. Hallelujah. We cried out for the lost. We cried out for the burden which God had a burden for. And we didn't sit back, but we prayed and we sought the Lord. Hallelujah. And we not only did we pray as we sought the Lord, but we also acted. We had the courage to act. We had the courage to step out onto that field. Hallelujah. And when the hill looked high, we didn't look at the hill, but we looked at our God. We looked at our Lord, because our Lord is so mighty in all the earth. And when we cried out, Lord, mighty is the Lord. Mighty is our God. Worthy is our God. That the power of God would come in and invade and take over the principalities and powers that we face this day. That our kids and our generation would not have to face this. For they will face their own battles. But our battles would be won. And the legacy would be passed on to the next generation. That we faced this battle and we overcame. Now you will face yours and overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I want to stand here today and say that I faced my battle. I didn't leave my post. I didn't run away when it was time for me to stand in the house of God and proclaim His goodness and His glory and say, take courage, take courage, take courage and stand. For the Lord thy God is with you. His favor is amongst us to do His will. Come on. I want to stand my post that the generations before me and those around us would have a safe place to grow and learn from God. Hallelujah, and be sent out. Be passionate for the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. As David prayed, I want to pray. Hallelujah, Father God. Renew a right spirit unto me, Lord Jesus. God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Whatever it is, to renew the passion. If the passion needs to be renewed, let's just stand this morning. Hallelujah, Father God. Lord Jesus, our God is a mighty and great, wonderful Lord. You are mighty to save and change everything. There is nothing that is too big for you, God. You are mighty. You control it all. You are mighty. You are so mighty, God. You are big. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to read a prophetic word. It says, open up the eyes and awake to the new day that I have set before you. Do not pull cold covers over your head any longer to hide from the light. It is time to arise. It is time to go forth with boldness and power. Do not fear and do not despise the day which you are living. These are days of anticipation and indeed the days of manifestation as I release a fresh anointing upon my people through the church. Many have focused on the negative in the past years. The economy, the government, the failures of men have been at the forefront of the minds of my people. But this day I say, enough is enough. This day I say, enough is enough. Am I not bigger than the problems, the economy, and the corruption? I am the Lord who speaks everything out of nothing, and I am about to do it again. Do not let the distractions dictate the outcome of your destiny. Each and one of you have a destiny, a calling by God to fulfill on this earth, a part on the wall, a place that He wants you to stand and be faithful to. Each and every one of us, let us not be distracted. Hallelujah. Mighty is our God and mighty to save. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, right now, I just thank you for who you are. Let's just let the Spirit of God minister to us for just a moment. God, let we capture your heart. And Lord, in places where it has been buried and because of hurts and wounds from the past, Lord, I pray you break in and break the seal in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, let it be an influx and of encouragement. Let the generations be encouraged. Hallelujah. Let the generation before us take courage and be strong. Let they find encouragement and hope in the future that you have placed before us, Lord. Let my generation who stand before you be encouraged too, Lord, to take our place and say it's our time. It's our time to arise and shine. Hallelujah. For your light has come, and let the glory of the Lord shine upon your people, Father. And let the ones who are coming up be feeling safe in a house, be able to drink, to be able to grow,
and to be able to come forth. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you want prayer this morning, I know what, 15 minutes passed, and I apologize, I know. But if you want prayer this morning, please come forth. Hallelujah. If there's some hurts or some wounds or things that need, you just need to find some passion, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for the passion of the Christ to come in our hearts. Hallelujah. That we would be able to share that and grow in that. Amen. So God bless.